How flexible is your device? Are you a person on the move and need your device to move with you? The Mesa Fundi goes wherever you go. It allows you to take notes, sketch your great ideas, sign documents and get work done wherever you are. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional. Visit mesa.co.za for more information.
When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fibre to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi voice app calling, Office 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
This is Tech Central and I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm on a video call now with David Tor, the CEO of YouCook, a website that delivers the ingredients that allow you to cook your own meals at home. David, as you can see, I have my my chef's apron on today, so I'm well prepared for this podcast. I'm just gravely unhappy that we can't do this in person because of the lockdown, but it is what it is. And you guys have been deemed an essential service through this lockdown. Have you seen a big spike in demand?
Yeah. So, Duncan, we've seen we've almost doubled our kind of like planned business trajectory currently. So we've seen a huge spike in demand.
Wow.
We've had to, we've had to kind of gear up quite heavily in terms of sanitary and hygiene measures within the warehouse space. I mean, if we were kind of, I suppose, optimizing for growth over this period, we could definitely, you know, we could probably get to 3-4 times what we planned from a business trajectory perspective. But there are, you know, constraints now in place to prohibit people from kind of being in general proximity to one another. And we're actually, I suppose, currently taking a slightly different stance. So we're trying to kind of gear our business in a big way around, social aid, really. YouCook's in a really interesting position in that, like, we've been deemed an essential service, and that's fantastic. But we serve a privileged few. I mean, our clientele are kind of LSMs 9 to 10. They have the luxury of being able to, you know, purchase groceries from anywhere, really. And I think they kind of, you know, see our solution currently as one that really, really makes sense contextually. And ultimately, what we're wanting to do now is trying to create something whereby all of the excessive upside that, you know, that we're experiencing currently, we're wanting to kind of push back into social causes. So we're going to be donating roughly around 25 Rand per box spread across our boxes. And for us, that's substantial. And margins in food are not great. PC3 sitting at like 19%. So it's, 25 Rand's a lot for us. Partnering with Food Forward, partnering with the Philippi Economic Development Initiative, and partnering with Ladles for Love. Due to the volumes currently sitting around 200,000 meals a month, we're hoping to feed around 400,000 people a month through these initiatives. So currently, I mean, it's a weird period because we're really, really privileged to be able to operate, and we're one of the few businesses able to do so. And I think we've just been internally deliberating what that kind of means. Does that mean that we really take advantage and kind of accelerate the deployment of a bunch of kind of new functions and try to kind of, optimize for grabbing a bigger share of the market, because we're probably one of the players that's better prepared. We actually recently invested in a large amount of kind of warehouse and infrastructure. So we've actually got capacity to handle double what we're doing currently. But I guess, you know, one has to look at what this means long term, and it's easy to take advantage of opportunities that present themselves currently. But I do think that we're, you know, about to enter an economy that looks very different. And we want to be one of the brands that over this period really, really rallied behind kind of social KPIs, because I think that's going to become an essential must for anyone that is kind of operating fruitfully over the next few months.
How big is this market that you're operating in? I presume it's a fairly large market in places like Europe and the US. How developed is it in South Africa relative to those markets?
Insignificant. Look, online, if you're looking at the grocery space, your penetration is like 1.4%. It's tiny. I mean, I think what contextualizes that statement is looking at how big UKUK is, and how much of the market we actually own, and how, you know, small our revenues are. So we're sitting at about 8% of the online grocery markets to date, which I think is an impressive stat. If you think about you know, investment to date, we've probably raised about 10.5 million rand over the last over the last kind of 4 years total. We're doing probably 14 million rands running revenues. But I mean, the whole market's probably 1.7 billion strong. That's across all of the big retailers as well.
Yeah.
So tiny, but growing, accelerating. And I think this, obviously, from a behavioral dynamics perspective, is going to accelerate the uptake of kind of online concepts, or at least those that, you know, kind of are able to operate, because a lot of e-commerce players are now ring fenced in terms of what they're able to sell and not sell. But maybe it looks like, you know, very insignificant in comparison to, you know, some Asian countries are 40% small. Yeah.
So what's your background, David? How did you come to UKUK? It was founded in 2014. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it was you, yourself and a partner who launched it. Chris.
Correct. Yeah. Chris Cohen.
Okay. What were you doing before UKUK, and why did you decide to pursue a startup in this area?
I wasn't doing very much, to be honest with you. I mean, I wish I had a kind of prolific, you know, background with, I mean, I was very young. I was, you know, kind of 23, mm-hmm. When I started UKUK, but I, was a traveling wanderer, someone kind of looking for purpose.
It's a good thing to do at that age.
A long time to find some kind of calling.
It's a very good thing to do at that age. All right. So UKUK, how did the idea come about?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, I was obviously aware of dinner kit services at that point in time. There was a huge kind of, they were a big hit. They were making a lot of noise overseas. Businesses like HelloFresh, like Blue Apron, like Linus Matkus had done exceptionally well. And I think contextually, we had an interesting kind of bunch of characteristics within South Africa. You had Woolworths doing well in a kind of relatively recessive economy. You had the likes of Yappy Chef, you know, as one of the kind of predominant e-commerce players, literally selling kind of high-end kitchen utensils. And I think we've got a really, really rich aspirational cooking culture in South Africa. We ingest kind of cooking media like no other country. Yes, Australian MasterChef, I think, is the most popular show in South Africa, you know, from a kind of mainstream reality TV perspective. And I think there were a lot of, I suppose, environmental factors that I think thought made sense from. And we started small. We started in a garage in Newlands.
Good place for a startup is a garage. Some of the biggest companies in the world started it.
First delivery made. We didn't really know what we were doing. We had a lot of passion and a lot of we aspired to be something great one day, but we definitely didn't have the tools or the know-how.
Yeah.
In the beginning, and for the first year we were doing kind of insignificant numbers, maybe 25 boxes a week. So it was really a joke. Parents kind of, you know, kept us in the garage, supported predominantly by friends and family. But we did a lot of research and a lot of thinking over those periods. And we managed to get Silvertree, our first investors, to, I don't know why they backed us, to be honest with you. I mean, we had absolute no credentials. We had like no real kind of like market position. We didn't really have much. Mm-hmm. And I remember still, you know, to date, the moment when, well, I don't know if it was that moment, but we weren't able to kind of get any, you know, the responses from Silvertree were becoming less frequent. And I think they were kind of looking at Daily Dish. You had about 400 running customers at that time. And then I said to them, listen, you know, I know you got a shareholders dinner coming up. Can we do the catering for you? Which is a weird, obscure thing to, you know, we weren't a catering business, but we did a great job. Mm-hmm. And I was having a conversation with Peter Alistoffer, quite drunk and with a big glass of red wine, and in throngs of kind of passionate conversation, managed to spill the entire glass of red wine all over him and his white shirt at his shareholders function. And I reckon that's when he was like, these guys, they're in it for the long run. They're definitely passionate and tenacious. I don't know. I mean, so we were lucky, I think, in that we got funding early on and we managed to kind of, I guess, execute what seemed to be quite lofty plans.
Mm-hmm. And the business has grown. How big is it now? How many people do you employ?
So including casual staff, we probably employ about 180 people.
Wow. And full-time?
Yes. Full-time, probably about 120.
Okay. Well, that's a reasonable size startup now. You started in Cape Town, but you've since expanded. You're in Joburg as well?
Yeah, we're in Joburg. We were in the majority of metropoles across South Africa. We're now limiting delivery to Joburg and Cape Town, mm-hmm. just because flights and the logistics associated with actually getting product anywhere is have become increasingly challenging. We were delivering to almost everywhere up until quite recently.
Mm-hmm. And where do you source your product from? Is it from supermarkets? Do you go directly to farmers? Do you where are you getting the ingredients?
So I guess, a big part of our narrative is kind of, supporting kind of like local entrepreneurs and, creating kind of gainful employment through energizing the back end of our supply chain. Mm-hmm. We source from, probably 40, 50 different providers, some really, really small providers. A large portion of our product is sourced from community initiatives. So about 30% in a given week can be sourced from the likes of PEDI, the Philippi Economic Development Initiative, or Mtumzi, which is another kind of subsistence farming community. So we're very, very, we're quite particular about who we source from. We've also got big suppliers, traditional suppliers like Dewcrisp, like Elgin, but try wherever we can to kind of support the small guy. I guess that's become increasingly challenging as we've scaled. So, what we find is that our procurement strategy is quite a distributed one. We kind of try to take on as much product that is, has kind of relevant backstory as we can. And then we fill up the rest of the kind of running weekly orders with stuff that we source from bigger kind of traditional retail suppliers.
So David, maybe take me through how it works. I've heard of YouCook, but I haven't used the service before. You go to the website, which is youcook.co.za. And then there are different types of plans available depending on what it is that you want to eat, whether you're a vegetarian, I presume you can choose those sort of options. Does it work on kind of a subscription basis? Take us through the mechanics of it.
Sure. So it's essentially, every single week we've got 12 meals on sites. They're distributed, separated into three different categories. The categories are kind of, they're not really dietetic. They're more kind of like lifestyle orientated. So we got a health nap, which is, just generally healthy food. It's not kind of prescriptive. Then we've got a vegetarian offering, which is obviously for vegetarians. And then we've got an offering called Easy Peasy, which is really, it's cooking without the hassle. It's a lot of pre-prepped ingredients for people that want to experience that whole and get that validation from cooking a meal, but don't necessarily want to chop all the onions.
Right. Sounds like
you use the user. Yeah. Sounds like me.
Is that your most popular option by any chance?
No. I mean, I think people just generally think are so mindful about what they eat these days. So yeah, they generally tend to opt for the kind of healthier stuff.
Interesting.
You could either select a category or you can pick across categories. Bachelors, couples, families, that's 1, 2s, and 4s of the 3 different portion sizes. You select a combination of those kind of different characteristics, and then we build an order for you, and then it's delivered and you get the exact, amount of ingredients to cook those meals with recipe cards that guide you through that prospective cooking process. So it's kind of like a recipe book that manifests the ingredients. It's like if people who want to cook, but they don't necessarily want to go and find sambal oleg in some, strange kind of Asian store. Mm-hmm. We allow you to kind of get all of the relevant things delivered to your door. And there's a lot of, I suppose, culinary enrichment, in that we partnered with absolutely everyone that's kind of relevant across the kind of culinary scope. So you really are learning from some of the better people in the kind of cooking space. And then there is a big lifestyle enrichment component. You know, we're really, really ethical about where we source. We're all free range, pasture reared, all of our meats. We source, you know, fantastic kind of cheeses from really, really small artisanal dairies, and a lot of veg product that's organic and you know, sourced from kind of community initiatives. So I suppose those are, that's the kind of product in a nutshell.
Yeah. So, and the customers that you have on your system, do they tend to dip in occasionally and try out new recipes, or do they in general are they using it, the service, all of the time?
So the customers are, it's fluctuates. You find a regular customer might order once a week in a month. Mm-hmm. And some people you order a huge amount and then they kind of get fatigued by continuously cooking. I mean, cooking is a activity that can be quite laborious.
Yeah.
Specifically if you're kind of time stretched, and it's nice to do intermittently. You know, I think it's a really fun, engaging activity. We got a whole bunch of super users that literally cook every single day. Mm-hmm. They'll order our product four times a week. And then we got some people that order once every 3 months. You know, I think it's a big mixed batch. But the majority of our users kind of pause, come on and off based on, I suppose, their weekly requirements. Sometimes you can, you know, you've got three nights of the week to kind of sit down and cook, and other nights you're just busy every day. So there's a lot of fluctuation.
And I think a lot of people have a lot of time on their hands right now because of this lockdown. So, and I think a lot of people are probably cooking for themselves for the first time in a long time, because they don't have any other option, because all the restaurants and fast food chains are closed. So that must be playing nicely into your business model.
Big time, I guess. You know, we're looking at fun, dynamic ways to kind of enhance our experience. The experience, we're going to be releasing some interesting, I suppose, dynamic additions to our core service in the coming weeks. But yeah, cooking is a fantastic activity in that, like, it's something that really kind of can be fun and collaborative. You can be cooking with someone, which I think is a great experience. It's also quite nice to kind of, you know, the preparation of food is something that's quite, kind of cohesive, and it really kind of brings people together. If you've cooked a meal together and you sit down around a table and have a conversation, which I think things, you know, become valuable, specifically over a period like this where there's a lot of kind of, you know, dismay and misery on the exterior world, and people are indoors, and you know, looking something fun and interactive to do, I think is a really nice you know, kind of time filler.
Yeah, for sure. Before I let you go, David, we are in a lockdown period. You have been deemed an essential service, so you can continue operating, but you must have had to put in some pretty rigorous precautionary measures to prevent spreading COVID-19. What are you doing on that score in terms of meal preparation, in terms of your drivers, in terms of deliveries to end users?
She's been doing a huge amount. So we run through about 16 sanitary processes a day now at the warehouse. There's spot tests on entry and exit. So everyone's temperatures are checked on entry and exit. We've built a warehouse relief fund, which ultimately allows us, from a casual perspective, to have people kind of stay at home, even if they're feeling slightly ill, and they can continue to get a wage. So no one's fearful of actually alerting people to the fact that they might be feeling ill.
Yeah.
We're obviously, you know, there's masks, there's routine cleans after every single process. Our logistics provider has taken on contactless deliveries. There is also sanitation after each dispatch and drop-off. We're privatizing our transport, so all of our staff are now actually being collected. So it's been an incredibly expensive activity. But yeah, all of that is now kind of privatized. And I guess also creating an environment whereby, you know, people are not working in such kind of close proximity to one another, and then being quite modular in terms of our kind of team setup. So tracking, grouping people together and making sure that they're working in operative teams, so that if a particular cell is, you know, if we find out that one individual is sick, you're able to kind of cluster together the people that they've worked with and then run the examination process. So taking it very, very seriously, I think everyone has to at this point in time. And also just kind of being mindful of the fact that they're also at risk. You know, I think we also have to take good care of our warehouse staff, and that's what we've done. We've created, as I said, we've got quite a big relief fund now that's filling up. So if something does happen, they're going to be kind of well taken care of. And that's something that we've always kind of, you know, we've been very, very stringent on. We're a business that is heavily invested in our staff's well-being. We're probably one of the better labor force, I'd say, maybe even the best from a labor force perspective. We pay people well, pay people around, including bonuses up to about 8,000 Rand a month, just in terms of basic manual labor. So staff are well taken care of. And this is a, you know, real time, I guess, to show up for everyone that we're delivering to, but also them, because they don't necessarily live under the same fortunate conditions that we do.
Yeah. Well, great, David. It's been great chatting to you. And I think this conversation has made me rather hungry. So I think I'm going to go and make some food now. In fact, I'm going to try out your service in the next week. And,
We'll send you a box. Tell us what you think.
Great stuff. David Toy is CEO of UCook. Thanks for taking the time to talk to Tech Central.
Thanks so much.